Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 34, and we're going to begin reading with verse 29. So chapter 34, verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him.
So this is the second time that Moses has been on the mount. And this time when he comes back down, it's a little bit different. He's carrying the tables that he made and God wrote on, but the skin of his face, physical. His glory. And to me, that's pretty incredible. And Heather and I have talked about this a little bit, and I've actually seen that with an individual before. I was ministering in a church, and when I stepped up to the pulpit, there was a lady in the audience that absolutely was just shining. And I didn't know who she was. I mean, I didn't know the people. And I said to her, I said, the presence of the Lord is all over you. Well, I found out later she was a woman that stayed in the presence of God. She prayed. She was a praying woman. And it showed. And so we were talking about this. You know, here Moses is 40 days in the presence of God. And the countenance of God, just by being in his presence, has affected him naturally. You understand? And, we talked about this, and I was just pondering on it. And I felt like the Lord said this to me. What you put in front of you, you reflect. Good or bad. What you put in front of you, you reflect. And I got this mirror. Any of you ever looked in a mirror? I won't ask you how many times a day, okay? What you put in front of that is what you're going to see. You with me? Now, I may not be able to convey this like I want to, but this is extremely profound to me. And so if I just think of this mirror as myself, okay?
Yeah.
So what am I putting in front of me? That's what I'm going to see. What I'm putting in front of me, I'm going to see. There was a time in my life that I was somewhat consumed with racing. And that's all I thought about. And that was my aspirations, you know, all this type thing, and, you know, building engines and, you know, all the stuff that goes with the racing and preparing a car and going to the track. That's all I thought about. I kept it before me all the time. So if you talk to me, we're gonna talk about racing. You with me? That was what's going to captivate my attention. And you see this with people, you know, you may take a farmer, he's going to talk about his crops, he's going to talk about this, he's going to talk about that. That has to do with what he's keeping in front of him all the time. People who watch the news, what do they talk about? news. People who follow politics, what do they talk about? They talk about politics. So you can gauge out of your own mouth, your conversation, what you're putting in front of you, what you're subjecting to. Most people do not realize the detriment of subjecting yourself to wrong things. You get around upbeat people, you upbeat. You get around people that are depressed and people that are always down in the mouth and all this type thing, and you find that gets on you. I've actually been with people, and I mean, I'm fine as rain when I get in the car. I'm happy, happy, happy. And they get to talking about something, about some situation. And by the time I get out of their presence, oh, I'm at the fight. I'm serious. And I thought, I've got to stop this. I can't absorb. I'm going to have to set an environment rather than to let somebody else set the environment. Regardless of what they're saying, I'm going to put something else in front of me. That's what I'm going to reflect. Moses on the mount, he reflects God. What's, you know, these children of Israel down there, they make a calf. What are they going to do? They're going to reflect the calf. They're out there going crazy, worshiping an object they made and calling it a god. You put yourself in front of something stupid and you'll act stupid. I know. And probably most of you do too, if you'd admit it. But I want to be like Moses in the presence to where we're reflecting God. Reflecting God. I guess most of you watched the eclipse or whatever here. But we went out and I came prepared. And we went out and looked at that, and I thought, you know, you get in front, you see the black, you see the dark. That's your flesh. Do you know on the other side of that, it's so brilliant that you can't even look at it? The moon reflects the sun, doesn't it? Well, we're supposed to reflect the sun. But in order to reflect the sun, we're going to have to get in the presence of the sun. And you get in the presence of the sun, the flesh has to go. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Yeah. This is a problem with the church today. People are seeing the dark side because it's not exposing itself to the S-O-N. You with me? And so the world of reflecting. If you subject yourself to the world, you're going to reflect the world. And you can't come to church on Sunday and just, act like you've been in the presence of God all week. You can, but everybody's going to see through you. The only one you deceive in is you. You understand? You see through facades. So what do you see?
Do we see this?
Okay. What do you see? You get that in front of. As a matter of fact, James talks about this. Mm-hmm. He talks a man about how a man can look in the mirror, and then he walks away and he forgets what he looks like. How many of you know what you look like right now? How do you know what your hair looks like right now? You don't know if you look good or not, do you? No. Especially if you came in out of the wind, right? You're getting a picture with all this. But he says, one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Mm-hmm. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. What's he going to reflect? Jesus. Word in, word out. Garbage in, garbage out. I'm telling you, this is why, and I'm not a religious person as people view religion, okay? Not at all. But I've stopped watching TV a few years ago. I don't want to watch it. You understand? I was talking to the Lord. I want to know you more. I want to know you. And on the inside of me, I was getting, you can't know me looking at the world. He didn't say a thing about TV. But I knew that TV was world. The psalmist said, I set nothing evil before my eyes. Well, you got a beast in there. What are you getting? Well, you can't believe the news. It's not news. It's propaganda. What are movies? Ungodly. I don't care if they're Christian or not. What people are praising as Christian movies, they're not in agreement with the Word of God. You're not going to learn the Bible going to a movie. If you know the Bible, you'll disprove things in the movie. It's Hollywood. So am I going to allow an unregenerate person to teach me about God when they don't even know God? But that's what people are doing. You see, they can justify it. Well, I mean, that's a Bible thing. So they justify. But you're still setting the wrong thing before you are. Get the truth before you. You want to reflect truth, you're going to have to get yourself in the presence of truth. We could go on and on. You want to talk about that?
I was just thinking about how...
You need the mirror.
No, sir.
You want to see what you look like?
Probably not. Can't do anything about it. About how Jesus can satisfy a hunger for us that nothing else can. Ladies, I'm going to speak to you for just a minute. I think I'm probably not the only one who's watched a romantic movie, a romantic comedy or things, and you think, boy, a love like that would be nice. Be nice if my husband would do that. That'd be nice. Portraying what it did for me was it always left me hungry, so to speak. Wanting something that I didn't have. The problem was, I wasn't looking to Jesus. He's the one that can satisfy every need. And He is the one who has satisfied every need. The lover of my soul has given me a love that I couldn't find elsewhere. And so I think about this whole notion of Moses' face shining because he has been in the presence of the Lord and that glory is just reflecting off of him. That can be us too, and quite frankly, it should be us. We should be in the presence of the Lord to where we are so distinct when we are out and among, walking in and out of the people, but it is obvious that we have been in the presence of the Lord. It was obvious Moses had been in the presence of God. Romaine and I were just talking upstairs and it came to me, teaching upstairs, it came to me, if we're blending in with the world, something is amiss. We as born-again believers, followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, should be so distinctly different from the world. Because we may be in the world, But we should not be of the world, you understand. We too should be shining from the presence of the sun in our lives. This doesn't have to be just for Moses. I appreciate that Pete shared the account of the woman in the congregation who shone. Don't you want that? You know, y'all don't know this. Maybe you do. I pray for this body. All y'all by name. Every single one of you. And those that aren't here with us. And my heart's cry was, Lord, may we all have hearts to know your ways. Don't let us just be seeking after your acts. We can go outside and see your works. Let us be a people that desires to know your ways. Moses desired to know the ways of God. And because he desired to know the ways of God, he went into the Lord's presence. He had to climb that mountain to get in front of the Lord, you understand. He had to make a point to go to the tabernacle to meet with the Lord. He made the effort. We have to make the effort. The Lord is there. He's waiting. He's waiting on us. We just have to make the effort to know Him. So my heart's cry for me, for you, Lord, may we know your ways. And when we know your ways, Lord, when we spend time in your presence, we too will shine and be brilliant. Because we'll be reflecting you. It's not a pride thing, you understand. It can't be a pride thing because God rejects the Holy Spirit. Can't be that. It's got to come from the depth of your heart, the desire for the intimacy. And so, I read about Moses' face shining, and that's a glorious thing. But I think that's because of an intimacy he had with God. I want that intimacy. I desire that. I pray that you do too. And so think of yourself as a mirror. I used to get it backwards, thinking, you know, we have to think of ourselves as the mirror, so to speak. And so we reflect what's in front of us. And what's in front of us is a choice. We can say, oh, well, you know, I've got work, I've got this, I've got that, I've got a household to run. Yeah, I get all that. But I had to make a choice to get into the presence of God. And you do too. We have to make that choice daily. I make the choice to remind myself of Scripture. I make the choice to read the Word of God. There are times when I make myself, are you catching what I'm putting out there? I make myself, you understand? Because I know what's in my best interest. Do you hear what I'm saying? Have you ever just not felt like cooking dinner? But if you didn't cook dinner, you weren't going to eat? Yeah, I've been there. If I want to eat, I've got to get in the presence. I got to get in the Word. It's a choice. It's a choice. We all should be glowing. Do you know the Lord wants to reflect His love on each one of us? He wants His love to be reflected on you. He wants you to know you're loved. You're appreciated. He sees your heart. He knows you by name. It's not just for Moses. It's for you too.
You know, we're in the world to be the light of the world. We're the light of the world. And so we're in it to give illumination. You with me? Light of the world is not just preaching to somebody. It's what they see in us when they interact with us. You follow me? I was thinking, you know, you look at this room's well illuminated, right? But you can really see it with, you pay attention to it with like an incandescent bulb. Especially where you have something operating off of a generator.
Hmm.
We can relate to that, can't we? And that power starts going, and that what happens? That light starts getting dim, mm-hmm. or dim and dim. You said in your homes when the power company starts cutting back electricity or doing whatever, there's times you see the lights just go real dim. Listen, if the power's not in you, the light's going to be dim.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about electrical power. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. That's what's given us the illumination. You understand? And here again, it's a deliberate thing. And it's a disciplined lifestyle. And I will tell you up front that if you choose that, people will not understand you. Why don't you do this? Why? You used to like to do that. Yeah, I used to walk after the flesh, and the flesh loved it. But when you start walking after the Spirit hates what the flesh loves. You understand? And so people of the flesh don't understand people of the Spirit. And spiritual things are spiritually discerned, so the flesh can't understand it. Well, I don't know why you don't want to do this. I don't know why you don't want to do that. No desire. Why don't you want to read the Bible? Why don't you want to pray? Why don't you want to talk about the Word of God? It's amazing to me how many preachers don't want to talk about the Scriptures. Talk about something else. Christians, don't talk about them. Don't talk about something else. Why? They're getting uncomfortable. Why are they getting uncomfortable? Because it's convicting them. You follow me? And so, we're not out here on a bandwagon trying to say, look at me, look at me. You'll find that that's not what Moses did as we can continue with this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't look at me. It's look at God.
Right.
And when I get through saying what God said, I'm going to hide me. You understand? And today, people are trying to bring the visibility to themselves. We've missed it. God just wants us in His presence. Listen, if you have to tell me you're a Christian, there's a problem. I should know you're a Christian just by being around you. I shouldn't have to be around you long to know that's not a person of the world. But by the same token, if that light's not coming out of you, then people are going to know that. Distinctly different. That's what holy is. We're to be different. We're to shine for Jesus, not reflect the world. Amen. Okay.
Verse 30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him.
Now, this is an excellent example, and I've seen this in principle. Isn't it interesting? Even though Aaron is going to be set apart, to be the high priest and all. He's not subjected to what Moses is subjected to. These elders, these leaders of the nation, they're subjected to the people's opinion. And so when they see the presence of God on this man, they're afraid. They don't want to go around him. And I've seen people, when the Spirit of God moving in a church, they get out of the church. The presence of the Lord scares them. And if your heart's to God, that should be like a magnet. You want to go to the presence of the Lord, not run from the presence of the Lord. And it appears to me, not only did they go near him, but they stayed away from him. They may have, whoa, let's get the other way, and I'll show you why here with the next verse.
And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them.
Return.
Mm-hmm.
Moses called. Come back here. Don't run away from me. You understand? Don't run from the presence of God. Come to the presence of God. And so they obeyed him, and he started talking to them. He started conversing with them, with the presence of God shining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai.
Now, you have to see this. Moses is acting as a representative of God. He's even glowing with the presence of God on him. And so he is speaking God to them. This is what God says. And so he is telling them what God has shown to him. You with me? Not covered. We're not going to hide anything. We're going to give you full exposure of what God said. A lot of times the Lord will speak to somebody and they don't want to say what God said. They'll try to water that thing down. Let's go ahead and read the next.
Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spoke unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded.
Now here's what I want you to see. When Moses is speaking for God, he uncovers his face. But when he's through saying what God said, he puts the veil over his face, not to draw attention to himself. You with me? He's not walking around, you know, and among the people, look at me, look at me, look at me. I've been in the presence of God. He's not doing that. He covers his face. But when he goes into that tent to meet with God, he gets that veil off. You understand? Because the glow on him was nothing in comparison to the brilliance of God, you understand? Then when he would come out and give the people what God said, he would take the veil off. Then he put the veil back on. And so when you're speaking for God, you don't cover anything. You say what God says. You do what the way that God wants it done. In other words, you minister the way God wants you to minister. But when that's done, then don't try to bring attention to yourself. That makes sense to you? Okay.
And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him.
So Moses, when he went in the tent, he took the veil off. But when he came out of the tent, he put the veil on. He wasn't walking around, just trying to impress people with a glove. You follow me? There's a spiritual principle in this. That's what I want you to see. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm seeing today with celebrity ministers, look at me. Bring it on. Come on. Let me get the applause and all this type stuff. No, you say what God says, and then remember you're a representative of God. You're not representing yourself, so don't draw attention to yourself. Let them see God, don't let them see the flesh. We're just giving you in just a few minutes what we've discussed for quite a while, going back and forth with this, because it's so awesome. It's just so awesome with the way this thing's working. There's such a principle involved in this thing. Let people see the Lord, and then when you've done what you're supposed to do, well, this just came to me, something that you can probably relate to. You ever heard of the Lone Ranger? He'd go in, get the job done, wearing a mask, and when he'd leave, and they said, "Who is that masked man?" Right? Well, that's the way it ought to be. They see God. They see the result of God. And so you're not trying to make a reputation for yourself. Men today are trying to make a reputation, build a reputation. Jesus made himself of no reputation. But by making himself of no reputation, he has an everlasting reputation. That's second to nobody, you understand? Mm-hmm. That's who I want to identify with.
Me too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 35 records God's command to keep the Sabbath, Moses' request to the Israelites for materials to build the tabernacle and the things pertaining to it, the invitation for the various craftsmen to utilize their abilities for making the tabernacle and the things pertaining to it, the offerings rendered by the Israelites, and Bezalel's commission. So, verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, "These are the words which the Lord hath commanded, that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever does work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day."
This is interesting to me that he starts this with the rest, mm-hmm. with the Sabbath. And we talked about that in the last session, I think it was, that Jesus is our rest, okay? Well, what interests me about this is they're getting ready to build a tabernacle, right? Do all the skilled work. And the thing that he says to them first is, 6 days you work. The rest on the seventh. The building of this tabernacle is not going to change that. The rest. You understand? Now, here again, he reiterates, and so often you see in this, in Exodus, how many times he's talking about the Sabbath, which he's talking about rest, not a day, but rest. To them, it was a day. To us, it's a person. Rest in Jesus. Quit trying to do things yourself. Be led by the Spirit of God. Now, it was so serious, and he said anybody that works on the Sabbath will be killed. You understand, if you don't live by faith, you'll die by works. You see the principle that's being conveyed in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't worship a day, glean from that the message that he's trying to tell us. Rest in Jesus. Rest in Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus is building his church? If you understand that, it takes all the pressure off of the minister. I don't have to build a church. I don't have a church. The church belongs to Jesus. And so the success of the church is dependent upon Jesus. My role is obey him. Amen.
Amen.
All right, our time's up. We're going to have to stop here for a break, and we'll see how we go when we get back, okay?